Warning, poking a burger doesn't make it a poker burger. Man, that Xbox onesie wouldn't have been in the office for 45 seconds before she put it on. Hilarious.
Classic Lucy.
Xbox onesie.
More like Xbox onesie, right? See what I did there?
That's what they meant. You idiot. You get that that's the pun, right? That's the joke?
Yeah, that makes heaps more sense.
That's the joke.
Hello. Welcome back to the podcast. A leaner... Well, I was going to say leaner, meaner. It's definitely leaner because Cam's not here. But it's not meaner because Cam's not here. Tristan here. Joining me is Lucy.
Hello.
And Luke.
Hello.
It's just a little threesome. We should all be inside the onesie together.
We should be.
It's like an early 90s sitcom.
Yeah. I don't know. Still, two dudes and a girl, that's the worst threesome, right?
Yeah.
Is that the devil's threesome?
Yeah.
Well, you may as well talk about the onesie. We've just alluded to it somewhat cryptically in the opening there.
Yeah.
So, Xbox made a onesie.
They did. That's the joke.
That is the joke. It went over some people's heads, evidently.
Yeah, clearly.
Some other rival gaming websites. But yeah, here's the thing. I don't wear onesies. Because...
Oh my god, the thought of you in a onesie just destroys me though. The mental image of it is so funny. Oh wow. No,
but
I need to see that before I die. Okay, if I get some terminal illness and I've got like, you know, a week left, can we make this pact now that you will come visit me in the hospital in a onesie?
At the very least, I'll wear it to your funeral.
Then I suddenly thought, but who would send me photos? Which is a stupid thought.
But I don't wear onesies because I'm not a toddler and I still have my dignity and I don't go to raves.
Mm.
But I don't care that other people wear them. So I'm not. There was a little bit of negative reaction to this thing, but I like a good pun.
Yeah, I'm not above a pun.
So I think, you know, good on you.
Yeah, and
good on you.
To be fair, I was very like, ugh. So like, it's, you know, ties into that whole adulting sort of internet speak, the millennial uselessness that I hate.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But
millennial uselessness.
But to be fair, they did a really good job. The onesie itself is really.
So we should say you got one.
I did get one, and I did get into it. For a novelty photo shoot.
Yeah,
which was a lot of fun.
Luke,
manning the camera there.
Yep. making the stunt corn. But I will also admit that when I got home that evening...
Oh, it stayed on?
I got back into it
because
I was like, this is the most goddamn... It was cold in my apartment. And I'm like, this is the most comfortable thing that I own. I don't own like a dressing gown or anything like that. So I was just like... I want to get into my pajamas, or I could just get into this onesie with my clothes still on and be toasty warm.
But isn't it like a hassle to go to the toilet, or does it have one of those flaps in the bottom, like old man pajamas?
No, thank God it doesn't have one of those flaps. it's not really that much of a hassle. In fact, I said to my partner, it's really easy to pee in this thing.
I'm peeing right now.
I actually said that out loud. It's surprisingly easy, like grasping for, you know, like reasons that I was still wearing it.
Just go, man. Just go.
So what, you just kind of zip it down and just
Yeah, you
falls
zip it
off.
Down and just kind of, you know, falls off and then you just put it back up. It's no more complicated than undoing a belt
but
or...
But you wouldn't want to do it in a public bathroom, though.
Well, no, but I wouldn't. All, you know, I wouldn't be wearing it in public. That's the thing. I wouldn't.
You will. You
no, 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 no. That's where I draw the line. Because I'm still right there with you with the whole, you know, infantiling sort of adults is a bit. I don't feel that comfortable with it. So,
three-year-olds look adorable.
Three-year-olds are totally. So cute. But yeah, there
Hello
is.
Kitty onesie.
There's something wrong, you know, with the fact that there is an adult body inside basically what is it. Just a one big pajama.
Yeah. Well, the next step for the adult onesie, I feel, is because even I have several little people, right? Mm. And even over the past five, six, how old? 8 years now. The onesie has evolved significantly.
Really? Mm.
Now we have two-way zippers, so when they shit themselves in the middle of the night, you don't need to take the zipper all the way down and take the whole thing off. You just zip from the foot and up, and then you just take
the
legs out.
Clever.
So that's the next step for the adult onesie. So you just take the legs out, hoik it up, pee, and then put it back on again.
It really is a Wall-E future, you know.
Oh, there's so many places.
Like,
go.
I mean, I just you sort of. I think I read Sydney Morning Herald. Tim Biggs wrote a review of
friend
it
of the podcast,
and he was like the thing about the onesie that's so sort of seductive is that it's like, yes, you could be obese and you could have the lifestyle of a slob. And that is what the onesie whispers in your ear when it's hanging up. It's like you could just totally not care anymore and just be that person that deep down you kind of want to be because it would be so easy.
Are there any other items of clothing that brim with that kind of potential?
Moo moo.
And the
Thank
fat boy
you,
hat.
The Simpsons, yeah. For that. Yeah, I mean, I think that maybe the moo moo. I don't know, it's just like some kind of sack-like piece of fabric.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a potato sack.
Just a sack, you know.
The onesie is the millennial moo moo.
It is the millennial moo moo.
So I've given up.
I've given up
anymore.
On life. It's one size fits all. It's so like it, you know. There is no sort of. There's nothing aesthetically pleasing about a onesie.
But the Xbox One's very practical, right? It's got pockets.
It's got it's got a couple of big pockets.
I don't really get the reinforced elbow pads.
No, I don't.
What's
really.
That for?
I don't really get that either because also
you gotta get down on your hands and knees.
Well, I think
it's got no butt flap.
Well, also, I think
that's where you were going, right?
Yeah. But I also think the idea is that you know when you're gaming, I hate that term. You know, you've got your elbows on armrests, right? So during really intense moments of...
I mean, I've worn out a lot of couch arms.
You know, like, the thing is that, yeah, no, you don't. But it ties into that whole idea of this is a big novelty. And, you know, I think Xbox was really surprised by the reaction because people actually wanted to buy these things. And yeah. A couple of them were going into, like, the Microsoft store and the CBD and stuff and asking when they could get one. It is a win for them. Yeah. They've done a great job, but I also think that they've been a bit taken aback. So now they've sort of gone, okay, you can win one, a very limited supply of one, by entering some social media competition. But they're not, you know, they were never meant to go on sale, I suppose, is the point. Mm. They were just meant to get a bit of buzz around them, which they did very successfully.
We just talked about it for like almost 10 minutes.
No, let's change the subject.
Let's change the subject to something else that we can shamelessly shill. Let's talk about Pokemon burgers.
Woo! Yeah, man.
This is a bit more grassroots, though.
Yeah.
Than, you know, Microsoft. I mean, you know.
Or grass-fed.
Nice. Not to knock Microsoft. But, yeah, this is a couple of young business owners in the Sydney CBD that have built their own possibly trademark-infringing burgers.
Yes.
Obviously cashing in on the Pokemania that's been at the front of mind for the past, well, since Pokemon Go came out. But yeah, we tried them yesterday and they were fucking delicioso.
Oh, they were so good.
and well made. Like they look cool.
Yeah.
They taste fucking amazing. You can only get them for a short time only.
Yep.
Well, should we give them a plug? Where is it? Down and Out Burgers.
Down and Out Burgers. It's on the corner of Liverpool Street and George Street.
Yeah.
In the Sydney CBD. Yeah, they're great, and they've been operating for ages, so they know how to make a good burger. It's not someone who's just gone, let's make Pokemon burgers, and they don't know what they're doing. I mean, like, these were really good burgers.
Yeah.
I am a little concerned about the copyright thing because, you know, Pokemon Company could just suddenly swoop down and...
I mean, it's not like they're making, like, funny... parody,
like
names
parodies.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, this is Pikachu.
This is Charmander, yeah. And this is Bulbasaur.
So,
But yeah, I mean, like that aside, just really delicious. Really, I would even though you can't actually order which Pokemon burger you get because they want to tap into that idea. I mean, like people will be ordering them in bulk.
They only make 100 per meal service or something.
Ah.
And yeah. B, that Ben, who's the co sort of runner of this thing, wants to tap into that whole idea that of randomness of catching Pokemon, you know, like you never know what you're going to get, sort of thing.
It's cute.
So it is
can't
really
lose
cute.
Though. I mean, there's only three, and they're all. Well, I didn't try the green one just because I objected to the color.
The green one is,
and also it had lettuce on it. Blah.
Yeah. and the other two, yeah,
and broccoli, yeah. The other two were fucking amazing. You said the green one was good.
The green one was really good. The Bulbasaur was definitely my favorite. So the Bulbasaur had. It was like, you know, standard burger, but it also had like chili aioli inside it. Yeah. And then on top of that, a shit ton of bacon.
Oh, so much bacon.
But really delicious, crispy bacon. Not like the horrible flobby bacon that you and I don't like, Luke.
Yes.
But very crispy. Flobby. It's a good word for it though, right? But really crispy. And so, yeah, it was so good. It's melting your mouth. Mm.
So good.
Just the memory making me salivate.
Anyway, let's talk about video games. where to begin? Actually, just quickly, because last time we podcasted, we spoke about... I was the only person who played No Man's Sky at that point. I'd played it for a couple of nights. Luke, you haven't...
I started it, yep.
Oh, you started it?
Okay. Yeah.
And then I went away for Gamescom, and then I came back, and now I haven't picked it up again, and I probably never will. Because there's nothing that's really... I mean, even though I wasn't having a bad time with... Well, I was kind of... I was so wishy-washy on that game. I didn't... Like, some bits about it I really enjoyed, and some bits I was just like, this is dull. Mm. But nothing... There's no real... And I think you guys would agree. Well, there's no real kind of hook to it. You can walk away from it pretty easily.
I feel like that's accurate.
Yeah.
So, now that I come back and, you know, I've got Deus Ex and I've started playing that, I just No Man's Sky is just going to drift away.
Yeah, much like Spore.
Well, yeah, I mean, I never even started that, but yeah, like, yeah. So, Lucy, I don't know who to start with.
So, when I played, just for everyone who doesn't listening, when I played, I got home and I put it in and I played... Oh, people are going to hate me for saying this. I don't care. And I played for like an hour and a half, just like going around the starting planet. Mm-hmm. I found it really frustrating because, you know, I'd had several drinks. And
I believe when you say several drinks, I'm pretty sure if I'm thinking of the right day, we'd been drinking since lunch. No, wait. That was the day after. Sorry, continue. Oh, this is right before you went on your break, right? You went on holidays. Yeah.
So
we did a podcast.
We'd had some drinks, and I just wasn't really. I was just in the mood for something like really relaxing and kind of just easy, you know, something that I could lose myself in, something where I sort of achieved a sense of zen. So I thought, okay, you know, No Man's Sky is definitely the right game. So I guess I went into it with the wrong mindset for starters, because I was drunk and wanted something relaxing.
Yep.
And No Man's Sky is not that. Not at the beginning.
Yeah.
Because the systems are very, they're quite obtuse. Like they certainly don't really teach you what you're meant to be doing. Mm. And so I started getting frustrated because I was expecting this kind of easy, relaxing experience. I wasn't, you know, sure how to shoot. I wasn't sure how to mine things. I wasn't sure how to stay alive. So I was messaging Tristan, who'd played, who I knew had been playing. I was going, how do I do this? And like the messages were getting increasingly more frustrated, and to the end where I just said, I hate this game, lol.
But it was like, I can't remember the exact exchange, but it was like you sent me a message where it was like, you were really excited about something. And it was like 5 minutes later that you were like, I fucking hate this. Like, there wasn't any, like, real time difference. It was, like, instant. Well, it felt like it anyway. I was drunk, too.
I ended up getting off the planet and, you know, having at least beginner's understanding of how everything worked. But, yeah, like, again, because I went away on holiday for a week after that, I've come back, and as you say, Deus Ex is out. And I'm obviously neck deep into Overwatch, as I have been since that game was launched. So yeah, I don't really see myself going back to it either. I would like to give it another shot though. Like, I don't want to sort of, part of the reason that I want to go back is I don't want to just be like, I hated it, and just be really stubborn about that, because obviously there's so much more to it than what I played in the first couple of hours.
I don't know if there is, though. That's my concern. Like, I played it for a couple of nights. So, I maybe 6 hours or so. And, I mean, there's stuff that I know that's in there that I haven't done. Like, I haven't had, like, battles out in space. But I don't think, from what I've read, I don't think there's too much more to it. That's probably why I have no desire to go back. I mean, it's this fucking massive universe and not that much. It's like a hollow kind of universe, I guess. And I also know what's set the center of it. Someone spoiled that for me. And that's really underwhelming.
Is it Peter Molyneux's Godis?
That would be like, at least that would be hilarious.
That would be so funny. What a trick.
Luke, how have you found it? How many hours have you put into it?
Two or three.
So you got off the planet?
I got off the planet, but then I just went back again.
Oh, okay. Wait, what'd you call your planet?
I can't remember. I let my kids name it.
That's sweet.
Yeah, but they called they called the other animals really weird stuff. What it is, there's a... What is it? There was something... I can't remember what it was. No, I can't remember.
I was too drunk to remember what I named my planet.
Okay.
That's terrible. God, I need to...
I don't remember
call
what it
a helpline.
Was. There was one thing. It was kind of seal-like with teeth, but it was also like a shaped like a small dinosaur.
Okay.
So they called it a walrusaurus.
Yeah, that's like really... That. That's
which
very
I thought
clever.
Was really cool. Yeah. But then we saw another one. You know, you see animals and it's the same species, but it's like a prime version of it.
Yes.
So they called that one the Walrusaurus Rex.
Nice. I thought,
you guys are so clever.
I have
but
produced
I'm kind of getting bored.
Genius spawn.
I don't know. I mean, for a time, it kind of felt to me like those periods where you play. Honestly, it might sound like an odd comparison, but you know when you're playing Red Dead and you're like, I need to get all these herbs and X this and X that and I can upgrade a bunch of stuff. Or Far Cry. Actually, Far Cry is probably a better instance because I used to get sidetracked heavily in those games.
Yep.
Upgrading my pouches and my satchels and all this kind
Elephant
of bullshit.
Scrotum
spears
pouch.
And you know all that stuff. With Primal particularly. So I'm happy to be sidetracked to do that because then you get more...
There's a benefit.
You have the ability to carry more things and it makes you more efficient in combat and all that stuff. And I know that... No Man's Sky, you can carry more stuff so you can, I don't know, fuel your ship more quickly or regularly without... I don't know. But it doesn't... Yeah, I can't see the purpose yet or whether there is one.
I don't think there is.
Yeah, so when that kind of... What would you call it? It's sort of a compulsion to just collect and maximize my inventory slots and... Mm. Find all the words of this language or whatever. Once that compulsion does run out, I don't know that there'll be enough to propel me to the middle of the universe.
No.
Well, yeah, no. I mean, a lot of the game's advocates, the fans, you know, their argument is that it's a game that appeals to people who just want to sit back and be awed at the sense of discovery, right? And that's kind of the...
I think that's totally fair enough if it wasn't for the fact that after a very short time, everything looks very familiar.
Mm.
So it's like if every planet was like really unique and every species was really unique and there was different conditions and it rained donuts on one planet or whatever, like that would be like crazy.
Like that amazing Simpsons episode
that would be crazy.
Well, raining,
the butterfly effect.
Yeah, but instead it's like, I guess, you know, I mean, I have no idea how many variables there are, but you start seeing them repeated so often, so early, that it's kind of like, well, I'm not excited by landing on this planet.
Mm.
I think the...
So once that's gone, once that thrill of discovery is gone, there's nothing left in the game, I don't think.
I think the big thing for me was, I totally see where you're coming from, but I obviously haven't hit that wall yet, because I got off planet, flew around, and was like, wow... The sensation of blasting off a planet
through the
atmosphere into space.
Best thing about the
game. And then turning around and seeing the size of the planet you were just on and going, holy shit. That is enormous.
Yeah.
Mm. I fly back, and then you fly back down, and you're like, it's crazy. So I haven't hit that repetition yet.
Right.
And I've gone down and I've I have walked around this planet, and what the planet I spawned on, it was extraordinarily cold, but it was filled with resources and heaps of stuff.
Right.
So I was very rich. You know how you get a sort of a breakdown of what's on your planet?
Yep.
So rich in stuff. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of stuff to get, which is why I went back. But super cold. It was minus 60 degrees. So my thermal... I'm always putting, I don't know, plutonium or some shit.
Yeah.
Maybe not that. Something else. I can't remember.
Plutonium sounds right.
Yeah, whatever. You know,
my 2 hours of the game.
There's like a bunch of different elements and there's several of them applied to different things, whatever. And I found a cave and it was full of something rare and I thought, oh, cool, rare stuff. I'll grab that. And there was lights and glowing stuff and it was quite spectacular. But the thing for me, right, is that I never followed this game really a lot in the lead up to it. But the closer it got to release and the more I read about it and how, you know, he's growing up in the outback and how that kind of was a part of the reason why he created this game, you know, put you in the middle of nowhere, there's no one around. I was like, yeah, you know what? That does sound pretty cool. Because I often go on trips, like family trips, middle of the year, out into the country and there's no one around. And it's quite an awesome experience. You've got no cell service, there's no natural light, it's just stars and there's no one around. And the idea of knowing there's no one near you is quite remarkable. Mm. I thought, wow, if a game could do that, put you on a whole planet to yourself that no one's ever been there, what an amazing thing. And I spawn on this planet, I'm walking around, and I'm discovering stuff and naming stuff, and then I walk into a shack that was there, and there's a guy in there. There's an alien in there who sells me something because I know one of his words. And then I walk out, and there's a spaceship that flies overhead, and it's like, you don't feel alone. Mm. I certainly don't feel alone on this planet, which is like allegedly an undiscovered planet. You know, I'm not feeling that. So that sense of isolation and total sort of aloneness in a like a unfathomably large like universe. Mm. I haven't got that feeling at all. Not when you can walk into a shack and there's someone else in there on the planet.
Yeah,
and it's like I'm not the only person on this planet. It's just objectively not true.
Yeah. I'm going to say that.
There's an alien frog in this room who's going to trade me items.
First time I walked into one of those shacks and saw an alien there, it kind of startled me.
Yeah, I honestly, like, I had no idea because I hadn't...
Yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea that that's what it was. I just thought, oh, you just go around by yourself.
No.
There's no one around. Yeah. Like, oh, no, it's not like that at all. There's always spaceships flying, zipping overhead, leaving trails. And I was like, well, this doesn't really feel like a lonely planet. I don't feel like Matt Damon on Mars right now. That's what I was thinking of. I was waiting for that sort of sense of isolation, but hasn't really given it to me.
Planting your own shit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, growing potatoes and my own shit.
All the shit of my friends. Why not? Either one. I don't care.
You know what game? If Sean Murray, incidentally, I know he's kind of gone offline a bit. He's copying a fair amount of backlash.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I can't abide by that.
Me neither.
Yeah, I know. That's...
But...
That's immature.
If he grew up in the outback, you know what game he should have made?
What?
Forza Horizon 3.
Yeah.
Which I won't talk about too much. But yeah, I finally played it last week at Gamescom, and it was the tits... And I say that
so good.
You know, obviously I'm not the resident rev head, but I mean Forza Horizon.
You mean me, right?
You don't you don't have to really be hugely into cars to enjoy those games because they're built for pleasure. Mm. But yeah, just the how well they've modeled the areas of Australia that they've made. And I mean it would be the same for you. I mean, at least you've got a bunch of Lord of the Rings games, but you don't see New Zealand.
It's not the same though. It's not New Zealand. It's Middle Earth.
Yeah, but so you know, you're like, can you imagine playing a game where it's like
that would be amazing.
The landscape is informed by the place you grew up in.
I absolutely,
it's amazing.
Think it's incredible, and I completely understand the appeal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you know, this might be the first Forza game that I play. Mainly
should,
just because
get a crew
I'm so.
Going.
So yeah. Curious and would love to see how they've tackled Australia, and obviously it's not going to be familiar to me in the same way, but
even
I still live
here,
you know,
fucking street signs,
the road markings,
it's
just there's nothing sort of alien about it. It just feels like I'm right here. I'm at home.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
And also, and you know, you've spoken about it before, but you know, they use their 12K cameras to shoot the sky for 3 months or whatever, and it's just like that's the sky that I've looked at my whole life.
Yeah,
it's like fucking awesome. Anyway, so yeah.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah.
And it looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
And it's a lot of, I think, that, this got brought up by Ryan. Ryan, who actually interviewed Ralph Fulton on the last episode of his podcast.
Right.
And
Unlocked.
Yeah, and they were saying, and Ralph was sort of speaking, like, self-deprecatingly about, you know, he wonders if they talk about the sky a lot. And they talked about the sky in the last game as well. And it's one of the things they did a presentation for us when we went over there. And they're talking about the fact that they've simulated the atmosphere and the light coming through it. And that's why, that's the reason why the sky is blue. And it's all this really fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
And it's easy for someone, like, say, who just plays the games and goes, you know, I don't really think about the sky. And I don't know whether I'm going to really notice this. But it's half the screen.
Exactly.
Like, it's so much more important that I think a lot of people realize, and I'm not going to be presumptuous and say that it's entirely unappreciated, because I'm sure there's tons of people out there who would understand, yeah, no, you're right, it is a big deal, because the way it informs the lighting and the entire aesthetics of the game.
Yeah.
Because, here's the thing, right? Because I think I was talking to you about this the other day with F1 2016, which is another game I've been playing, which is a fantastic game.
Yeah.
But Codemasters, they still, for the longest time, and they still can't quite get it, their games just feel a bit washed out and drab. And I think part of it is that the sky just isn't right. It's not the right shade of blue. And this sounds so anal and weird, but it's true.
Mm.
They're not quite the right blue. And it doesn't give off quite the right light. And it doesn't light the tracks and such in quite the right way.
I agree.
Certainly not as well as Horizon 2 and Horizon 3 now does it. Horizon 3
gorgeous.
Kills it. It's crazy. Yeah. Like, it's such an inside baseball kind of thing when you think about it. Like, oh, the sky and HDR and blah, 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 blah. But when you see it, It's
stunning.
It's absolutely sort of night and day.
Yeah. I mean, I have to, like, I got to be honest. When I look at the remainder of this year, I mean, there's some great games coming, but it's kind of the one I'm looking forward to the most. I know it probably is for you.
It definitely
almost
is
for certainly.
Me. Yeah. And it's hard. It's also a little hard to, because it's a game that I assume that everyone just assumes that I'm going to adore and I'm really looking forward to it.
Are you going to review it?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, I certainly hope so. But it's hard to detach myself from the fact that yes, it is set in Australia, and yes, it does feature all of my favourite cars.
Trying not to get too excited.
But I've always liked Horizon, and it's an objectively much loved game.
Mm.
You know, like, it always reviews well. People like the fans love it. So it only stands to reason why I'd be excited regardless of where it's set. The fact that it's set in Australia and features some pretty sweet cars is an incredible bonus. Mm.
It's only, what, 2 weeks away, 3 weeks away?
Oh, man, it's not that far away. Yeah, we're going to get it slightly earlier.
We're going to get it.
So, yeah, I don't know.
I'm fixin's to fuck you.
I was waiting for you to do it.
You know what would be the greatest thing, right, though? And I'll mention this one last thing and we can move on. The greatest thing will be if, because they did an expansion for Horizon 2, right? And it was Storm Island.
That's
which was
right.
Some kind of, you know, they didn't
and
sort
they
of name where it was.
They tried to sell it to me over and over again whenever I played that game.
Yeah, they bring out that menu? Yeah. Yeah. See, I didn't get that menu because I already had it.
Shut
so
up.
Yeah.
Shut
yeah, you know, yeah. But if the expansion for this is New Zealand.
Oh, someone's ears just pricked up.
Incredible.
That would be amazing.
I mean, it doesn't seem completely unlikely.
It's certainly the expansion that I would have suggested if I was involved in the process. If they were kind of, because they have to fire that artillery quite early. If they're going to be like, we're going to have an expansion ready 5 months after the game comes out, they don't start making it.
Yeah.
Once they press the button on the last one, they're going to have to start that early. So they would have had to already make that call.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
That would be amazing.
Ultimate video game.
That's such a logical expansion. That's totally what I would have suggested.
It really is.
And it would give them, I mean, they need some sort of artistic license. Cause I don't know what the seasons are like compared to over here. But Horizon's always been a summer game.
Right.
But it would give them the excuse to invest in some like snow tech, which they could then turn around and apply back to Motorsport 7, or for instance, or another year down the track.
Yeah,
because you the tech goes back and forth.
That they probably would, if you wanted a job over there, they would probably pay you like so much money.
Yeah, but I have nothing to offer. I have no skills. I've never made a video game before in my life. The only thing I'm good at is. Oh well,
I think you're forgetting.
Except for my Don Bradman mods. I don't think I have anything to offer people who build video games for a living.
Maybe.
Plus,
I don't know.
Plus, you'd have to live in England.
Yeah. That's
so true. So far from here.
Yeah, it's really far away.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I hope there's room for one more in Car Corner, because I am going to take a seat in there. Lucy.
Yes.
You... Let's keep this short, okay? You played Final Fantasy 15?
15.
How much of it did you play?
I played about 3 hours.
So this game, I know...
There was a four-hour demo, but I had to leave early.
You're like, soon enough.
I actually, to be honest, I was just really, really hungry.
Oh, okay. It was a morning demo.
Yeah, it was a morning demo, and I just... I'd seen enough.
This game, I know there was a delay...
Two months. Yeah.
So when is it out?
Don't know.
Me neither. Doesn't matter.
And that's terrible that I don't, but I know that there was a 2 month delay.
Yeah, that's all I know.
Like, I think, in all honesty, I haven't really been following the development of this game at all because I, as I said in my little write up of it, I haven't actually played a Final Fantasy game since 12 or 13. The one that was released in 2009. Anyway, I'm a lapsed Final Fantasy fan because I was very, very, very into every single game from 7 onwards. And
so 7's obviously the one that everyone holds up as being, you know, the classic.
Well, 7 was one of the first PlayStation games I ever owned.
So when did the series slide into being terrible?
Well, it sort of slid into... into this kind of, there was
a really confusing naming convention and all that kind of shit.
Yeah, I mean that's and I always forget which one it was that I played that was there was one that was very linear at the beginning, and I'm pretty sure
it
was
10?
13.
Oh,
no,
was it?
I'm pretty sure it was like.
I mean, you know better than me.
But the thing is I don't even remember. It definitely wasn't 10.
Was it 10-2? There was a 10-2, right?
10-2, hyper fighting.
It was 13, and it was very linear.
I remember people talking about that. Yeah, it was just like one corridor.
Yeah, it is really different, and obviously, you know, a lot. It's still got its hardcore defenders. But yeah, I just think at the time I was 26, and there were a bunch of other games that were out that year that were amazing, and I was just like, I just don't think I have the energy or the time to.
Plus, you were hungry.
Plus, I was hungry. to keep playing Final Fantasy games, and so I sort of decided unconsciously to not pursue the series any further. It's sort of putting it into the nostalgia bank, basically. But you know, I've been interested in vaguely, not hugely interested in Final Fantasy 15 since the get go. Which is a long time ago.
Yeah.
So it was the first chance I'd had to play it, and I got to say, I really enjoyed it. I played it vitally. I played it in Japanese with English subs, so I didn't have American voiceover.
Is that the way to do it?
I mean, obviously, I haven't heard the American voiceover. I haven't played with the American voiceover, rather.
Yep.
But I would definitely say that's the way to do it. Because it's a road trip movie with four.
I love road trip movies.
Like a road trip movie, road trip game sort of style. It's very influenced by the kind of, you know, young guys celebrating their youth and freedom in a
break.
Car and
spring break.
Yeah, it's kind of spring breaky. except they're gonna, you know, they're going to save a kingdom rather than you know, go look at some tits.
Because you.
But I gotta say, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the demo. I thought it was heaps of fun. The combat system is still a little fiddly. It sort of dances between free flowing and turn-based.
Okay.
It's mainly free-flowing, but like there are moments where you can command your party members to do certain turn-based attacks.
Right.
But yeah, so, you know, it still doesn't quite sit well with me. It's just very busy on screen, and it didn't click.
So many haircuts.
It didn't click. Yeah. But, you know, I've read, you know, it clicked for other people, and those who did play the full 4 hours said by the end they were feeling quite comfortable with it. So, you know, maybe it's just a matter of getting used to it. But the rest of the world is great. It treads this really cool line between extreme Americana and, like, very unique Japanese sensibilities. So it's like it's America through a Japanese lens.
That's the best kind of America.
Which is the best kind of America. Yeah. So, you know, there are rusty sort of diners and like surly bartenders straight out of Twin Peaks and all that sort of thing.
Yep.
But then, you know, you go inside this this kind of complex, and it's really glitzy and glamorous in that kind of Final Fantasy way that makes you think that you're walking into some amazing like kingdom/hotel.
Right.
And, you know, there's all the sort of the flamboyance of the cooking. And
you did mention the food.
The food, I gotta say, the food in this game is next level. I thought
you were hungry at the time.
I thought I was really, really hungry. I thought that The Witcher 3 had cornered the market in video game food, but Final Fantasy 15 beats it hands down.
But just in general, is it not like quite a good looking game?
It is. It was gorgeous. Yeah, really, really pretty game. Really pretty boys. As I was chatting to a friend of mine, and we agreed that there's going to be a lot of fan fiction written around this quartet of young men.
Mm-hmm.
and yeah, it's just, you know, it was really fun, really endearing. Your mission, your grand mission, was very straight to the point. You've got to save a kingdom and get stronger in order to do so. It's very straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liked that because I felt, again, like, you know, one of the reasons that I dropped off the series is just the convoluted sort of stories were too humorless for me.
Yep.
So I liked that it was very straight to the point, and it was all about having fun, and it was just really fun. So yeah, I had a really good time, and it's definitely given me hope for the larger game, and I'm gonna play it when it comes out. I will play it whenever it comes out because I idiotically have no freaking clue at this point. Someone please do my job for me and tell me when it comes out.
We'll edit it in later.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice. I'm still not convinced.
Yeah, if we're gonna talk about RPGs, can I ask you about South Park? Because that's the RPG that I'll play.
Yes, you may. Well, okay, so here's the thing. We'll talk about Gamescom in general, actually, because, Lewis, I know you're on holidays, but from this side of the pond,
yep.
Was there much?
Nope.
No. It was almost like, I mean, it was definitely an event, because I was there and it was happening, but because there was no press conferences this year and there was just no real hype for lack of a better word, but there was no real buzz happening. There were still lots of great games there. Most of them had been seen at E3. Not by me, because I wasn't at E3 this year, so it was good, actually. But yeah, it was just kind of, on the whole, as an event, it wasn't like fucking mind-blowing. Mm. So yeah, I suspect it's hard to get a read on it when you're there. It's like when you go to E3 sometimes, you completely miss stuff that happens. But anyways, yeah, South Park is one of the games that I tried there with the Nozulous Rift.
Okay, so yeah, let's hear about that. Everyone needs to hear about that.
Yeah, so this thing, I assume quite a number of our listeners are already aware of it, but yeah, it's not for sale. It's strictly a PR stunt kind of thing, but it's a real thing. I can vouch for that. It's obviously a piss take of Oculus Rift and VR, only it's for your sense of smell, a smell-o-vision kind of thing. So I put this thing on. I hadn't played the South Park demo before. I liked the first game as well, so I was like, oh, it's the same demo from E3, by the way.
That's one of the giant problems with Gamescom.
It is,
from
yeah.
our perspective.
It's a running
problem. Not from consumers, because they get to go.
Exactly. But I was like, I was keen to play it, and they were like, yeah, you have to wear this. I'm like, yeah, how bad could it be? and so I thought somewhat like naively that there would be different kinds of smells. Like, I obviously overestimated how sophisticated the technology was.
Yeah.
I thought there'd be like, you know, multiple chambers or something, that, like a pleasant smell and like a neutral smell and like a stinky smell. But I was wrong. So I was walking around the like because I was walking around the
but I was wrong.
Cartman's house, which is where the demo starts, and I'm like, I was with the Ubisoft handler, and I'm like, I can't really smell anything. Is this actually working? I was like, go to the bathroom and use the toilet. And I'm like, oh, God. So I went upstairs and used the toilet, and it's quite funny the way that you use the actual gameplay of taking a shit or a fart for that matter. Because you need to like pull the triggers to squeeze and then separate the thumbsticks, and then you kind of adjust it to like, you know, how long you want it to last for. So like that's funny, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, and then it just I sat on the toilet and took a shit, and it was just like way beyond my worst fears. Like it smelled. It's completely artificial, obviously, but it smelt like shit. And we've all smelt shit before, obviously, but never like that close to your face. Well, some people probably have. It's not really my bag. But it was like shit that was on me, like on my upper lip.
God!
But not just that, but like being sort of propelled up into my brain.
Oh.
It was really gross.
Don't tell everyone about like how you woke up the next and you could...
So, yeah. So there was... There was one blast when I used the toilet, and then the demo was cool, by the way. Like, the demo, I mean, it was through watery eyes. I like what they've done with the combat. It seems a lot more depth to it. It's kind of like grid-based. Anyways, but there's another movie where you do this kind of parkour farting, where you're kind of using, I think it was Kenny with his kite, and you put him on your shoulders and you fart up to get to rooftops. So I smelt that as well. Same smell, but like tripled. It was like three blasts of it. But yeah, the next, had the demo, went back to my hotel, brushed my teeth, used some mouthwash. Thought I was pretty thorough. And then the next morning I woke up, you stay in a hotel and it's got air conditioning, you get a little bit dehydrated.
Yep.
Especially if you sleep with your mouth open because you're pretty drunk. And I woke up this morning and I could, and the scent had like traversed through my sinuses and started trickling down the back of
my
throat.
Oh my God!
So gross!
And it was in my mouth.
Oh!
Oh, that's so disgusting.
As though I'd eaten shit. So thank you, Ubisoft.
Wow.
I mean, like, having said that, I don't regret it.
Yeah.
Most people never will.
Yeah,
so.
Right.
I
think I would have thrown up.
I saw they're bringing it to whatever the next PAX is in the States. I'm not sure which one it
PAX
that is.
PAX West?
East or West. It's one of them. One of the directions. And then I also, from what I hear, I think Ubisoft Australia might be getting it down here for either EB Expo or PAX down here.
I'm not doing it.
But Aussies, you
might get to try.
It's wrapped around your face, right?
It's wrapped around your nose.
So,
it's everywhere.
So, you know, not only are you going to have to inhale the smell of shit, but you're also going to have to wear something that's been around other people's noses.
Yeah, that's the other thing, right? I thought there'd be some kind of disposable, like, you know, attachment, you know, like a breathalyzer kind of scenario. No.
What I've come to realize
about... So, yeah, I had someone else's upper lip on me and artificial robot shit.
But what I've come to realize about these trade shows or these, you know, conventions or whatever is that people actually don't care about that. People don't care about hygiene.
Yeah.
They very rarely do. There are some publishers that will, you know, put some hand sanitizer beside the controller or whatever.
Yeah.
But very rarely, especially when it comes to VR and stuff like that, very rarely will anyone care about germs.
You're right. I mean, if you want to...
Because if you want to get through a lot of people...
If you want to think about it that way, artificial shit blown up my nose is probably the least of my concerns. I've probably got actual shit on my hands from using controllers.
I would
Great.
Say...
Great, thanks, Luce.
It's true.
Yeah.
That's it. This is when I start wearing tissue boxes on my feet. Yep. And grow my hair really long.
No, I never. I'm no. I couldn't do it.
Start,
I couldn't have done.
Lurking around a tiny model plane.
Get in. It's a nice model, sir. But yeah. Anyway, the game looks cool. Although curious, like you know, they showed it at E3, same demo at Gamescom. It's out in December. Still don't know that much about it. It's kind of just going on faith at this point. But it is a different dev team, right? It's not Obsidian this time.
It's it's different.
It's just Ubisoft San Francisco or something. But still, obviously, Trey Parker and Matt Stone. And yeah, I'm sure it'll still be sweet. But anyways, other... Like, I won't go through everything I saw at Gamescom, but I did try Star Wars Battlefront VR, and that was the tits.
Yeah, that sounds so good.
I know you did Batman VR.
They didn't have it.
Oh, they didn't have it.
No.
We looked as well.
That's
like
a win
we
for
were,
Gamescom.
Yeah,
because we were really keen to try the big three at that point, which was the big four. There was Final Fantasy, Batman, Resident Evil, and I've forgotten who.
Star Trek.
No, that's
isn't that. Oculus only
it's
or Vibe?
Everything.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good then.
Yeah. Yeah, Star Trek's on all VR platforms.
Oh, good.
Oh, all the three big ones anyway.
The whole reason I got sent to that thing at E3 was to play Gran Turismo Sport, which wasn't there either.
Oh.
So, no, there was no...
No. Yeah. But, Battlefront was fucking awesome. And also, the guy from DICE who was, like, assisting me listens to the podcast.
Hey.
And I've forgotten what his name is, so I now seem like a massive dick. But he was lovely.
Well, hello, guy.
Hello,
who
guy. Who put the Tristan. Headset on my head. But yeah, it was... And there was a video on IGN that Brian Altano and Goldfarb did, because they did it as well, like the day before that I tried it. And the gist of the video is basically like this. This is the game that has like sold me on PlayStation VR.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely agree. Like, I was like, you know, like, as we've spoken about, PlayStation VR seems like the poor man's VR in certain ways. And we all knew it was going to succeed, well, has a good chance of succeeding because of the install base. But I was always kind of like, yeah, PlayStation VR, whatever.
Mm.
But, like, Star Wars Battlefront's fucking awesome. You know, Batman, they've got Star Trek, they've got all these big names. Like, I think PlayStation VR, aside from the price... It has a pretty good shot at really going off this Christmas.
Just quickly, just before we move on to the next thing, I just want to announce that the release date for Final Fantasy 15 is November 29, 2016.
Okay, so yeah, this year. Not too far away.
Yeah.
Battlefront was sweet. I don't know how much of a game it is.
Mm.
But I think that's the thing with everything that I've experienced in VR thus far. Apart from Mike Bithell's game, which is called Volume, which is available now as... You know Mike Bithell, who made Thomas's Alone?
Nope.
I know that.
Right. Well, anyway, he's an indie developer based in the UK. And when I was over at E3, it was the first VR game I played that actually felt like it was a game and the VR experience enhanced that rather than this is a cool experience.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it was the first time that I sort of thought, okay, I can see how VR could use VR for a long period of time, and it's actually, you know, it basically turned his virtual game into a board game.
Right.
And that's what was so cool about it. But, you know, it's a virtual board game. But, yeah, it was like the first time where I was like, and you could move the board and see different angles and turn it which way. And you really needed to do that in order to play it properly. So, yeah, it was really cool. And I guess that for me, that was the first experience with VR where I've been like, I can see how this could work for a game rather than just a game-like experience, an interactive experience, which they all have been... sort of thus far for me anyway.
I mean, I think Battlefront, like, it's totally a game in the sense that you're flying and shooting TIE fighters in space, and it's, you know, it's a seated experience, so it's arguably the most convincing VR, except for when you're holding a DualShock but you look down and your hands are on a joystick.
Yeah.
That's a little bit of an immersion breaker. But I just don't know. I mean, A, I don't think it's multiplayer, which is obviously Battlefront's kind of thing, generally speaking. I don't think it is. It might be. And B, there's obviously no on-foot stuff. So I don't know if it's just that one. It's just like an assault on like a Star Destroyer. And that was kind of the whole demo.
Yep.
I don't know if that's just the game.
Mm.
But even if it is, like if it's priced well enough, totally worth it in a make-a-wish kind of way. Like you're fucking flying an X-Wing.
Yeah, that's amazing.
And you look back and you see the R2 unit beeping at you. And
nice.
Like it's rad. And yeah. You sort of lean over, look at all the cockpit dials and shit. And yeah, it's good.
It is good. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It was probably, I mean, that and Forza Horizon 3 were probably the two most, like, the two things I was jizzing over the most at Gamescom.
Yeah.
Battlefield 1 was also really fun, but I don't have too much to say about that, but it was great.
Did you play a single player or multiplayer?
Just multi.
Oh, okay. All right.
Which was fun. Yeah. I rode a horse and, like, cut up a bunch of fools in the desert, in the African desert, or wherever it was.
Okay.
Yeah, it was great. Like, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to playing a single player of that game. I haven't played a Battlefield game.
Have they showed much of the single player?
No, I don't think so.
Right.
Only what I can glean from those trailers. I assume that those trailers are packed with
bits plucked
from the single player.
Yeah, you'd be right. Yeah. I think they'd get a lot more traction if they brought out a Battlefield onesie. just putting it out there. It's not too late.
Come on, EA Australia.
What if, though, like, over at EA, they've turned on their computers. What day was it? Like, the other day, turn on the computers, yeah. And there's all this stuff about the Xbox ones, and they're like, shit!
They've got boxes of Battlefield onesies ready to be shipped out. Like, damn it!
There's just a dude trolleying them into the office at that exact moment.
Turns around and walks back out. Instead, they're sponsoring the Cronulla Sharks. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see that.
I assume they hammered out that deal like a month ago, and the Sharks were like on a 15-game winning streak.
Perhaps.
And not in the month since when they haven't won a game. Anyways, good luck to them. We should probably talk about Deus Ex. I mean, this has been a lengthy what we've been playing, but fuck it. We can news blast after this. Deus Ex, Luce, you've played a little bit more than me, but we probably played around the same.
Yeah, we're not too...
You've just played it twice.
I've just played it twice,
same stretch twice.
Yeah. With a different control scheme. The second time round.
Yeah.
Which I'm favouring the Human Revolution control scheme over the new one.
Yeah, for reasons you haven't started it yet, right?
Not yet.
For reasons we can't really understand, they introduced a new control scheme which just seems to overcomplicate things.
It's not as intuitive as the Human Revolution scheme. And you know, like,
and it's counter to all kind of first person shooter norms.
Yeah, and I totally believe that once you master it. And they do, you know, they do say that it require that there is a learning curve. They give you fair warning, but yeah, I can't be bothered with the learning curve, so I've just gone back to Old Faithful.
So they tell you that we've changed this, and it's gonna be hard, but you should.
Well, they don't say it in those many words. Okay. It's when you're selecting the way that you want to play
at the very start.
So it's just a two sentence description of each scheme.
Right.
Yeah, but they kind of make out like it's the optimal way to do
they
it.
They do. It's the most fluid way they say.
Okay, I'm happy with that. Mm. But then it's like you're like clicking the left stick to take cover when, you know, often that's like sprint in first person shooter games. And so I couldn't wean myself off that idea.
Yeah.
Which was problematic. And then there's a bunch of different... Anyways, there's multiple schemes, so we can't really criticize them. But what we can criticize them about is the fact that Adam Jensen is a incredibly... Well, he is a cyborg, I suppose, so maybe that's why he's so devoid of...
I think the interesting thing about Deus Ex for me, at least, you know, this and the last game, is that, yeah, like, Adam Jensen and is, like, he reads, like, what of someone who has never actually met a human being, but has just watched a lot of movies and TV.
Yep.
And he is what they interpret as a cool action hero would be. But unfortunately, that means he is completely devoid of any charm or personality. And so for me, like, I'm already really getting into this game, and I can see myself continuing to play it for a long time, until I finish it. But yeah, like, I can see why there have been criticisms around the story and around, you know, because I just don't care.
It doesn't seem like that's the strong part. The gameplay is rad.
The gameplay is great.
Once you get the control sorted.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, like, Adam Jensen, I just sing in my head, I just sing the Jetsons theme. Adam Jensen.
Yeah, no, really, like, he's so humorless and so, like...
I've just got to, like, entertain myself.
He's so devoid of any kind of... And it kind of goes across the game as a whole. It's very... these characters are very, very stiff and archetypal, and even the ones who are a little crazy, you know, a little wacky, are... they just feel scripted and forced, you know what I mean? It's just sort of a mixture of, like, not fantastic voice acting and just bad writing.
Does it run? You're playing it on PS4, right?
Yeah.
Does it run very well on PS4?
Yeah, it runs fine, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm playing on PC.
Yeah,
so.
of course. But no, like, you know, that's kind of a minor complaint, really, because I can skip through the cutscenes and I am enjoying the... You know, the actual gameplay.
So. And the world is awesome, too. Mm. Like, future Prague. Always wanted to go to Prague, future or otherwise.
Oh, I love video game worlds. And this is what I loved about Human Revolution as well. Like, I love video game worlds that invent their own, like, very highly detailed advertising and brands and stuff like that. Like, you know... That sort of that kind of world where you can actually get a sense that this is a lived-in
place.
Yeah,
there's all those fake movie posters.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah. I love that, and I think they've done a great job.
I mean, I love my Kindle.
I love my Kindle.
But I don't care... Yeah, we were talking about it the other day. But I don't care for e-books in Deus Ex. There's too many e-books everywhere. I don't want to read an e-book.
No, exactly. No, way too many e-books.
Yeah.
And also, like, I think they made a mistake calling it an e-book. They should have called it an e-note. Because the e-book, I see that and I'm just like, no way. I am not going to look at that.
I am not.
I don't have time. My orgs are crazy. Anyway.
Adam Jensen. I'm definitely, that's my jam currently. So I'm going to keep going with Deus Ex. Luke, just quickly, before we get a bit of a blast on.
Yeah.
It says here that you're playing Minecraft.
Yeah. Mm. It's not my first choice of game. Nor second.
I suspect this is
third.
Parental responsibilities.
Yeah, well, see, Luju, he has really liked the idea of Minecraft for a long time.
Well, yeah, that makes sense.
And he plays it on, like, my mum's iPad and his cousin, like, his second cousin, they're the same age. He loves it, blah, blah, blah. And so a couple of weeks ago, he downloaded this demo, like, the free trial for Minecraft on the PS4.
Right.
Now, he told Nicole, like, he told my wife that... It just happened. I pressed on it and it just downloaded. And then we had a big chat about that. Daddy's not an idiot. Daddy gets the emails when you redeem stuff online.
Yeah,
I know what you pressed. I know how the transaction system works on the PSN.
Yeah,
I'm not an idiot. So he felt embarrassed about that, but I let him keep the trial. And then it was his birthday, so we got him the game, and he's flipping his shit. He's loving it. Mm. But he's been dying and dying and dying for me to play it. So I begrudgingly sat down and started playing with him. And he was so excited. And he was trying to show me stuff and doing that. We've got to build this, we're going to build that. And I spent most of my time just, like, hacking dirt away from this area. So I ended up with a lot of dirt.
Yep, in your pockets.
In my pockets. And he comes up, he's like, why have you got so much dirt? And he kept harping on about the amount of dirt that I had. And I'm like, mate, I don't know what I'm doing. I've never played this game before in my life. And then later on, I felt really bad because... I'm like, I must have been really not a lot of fun to play Minecraft with just then. So I turned it on later that night and finished the house that we'd tried to start building and put a secret passage in it and that kind of stuff. And he lost his mind. He thought it was the best thing ever.
So cute.
But I still think the game's pretty shit.
I don't know if we've talked about it, but I had a similar experience because my Luju, who I call Triju, also I had my.
What do you call Triju? Girl Triju? Do you call it girl Triju?
Hi-ju. Hi-ju.
I had Minecraft on Xbox One. I think I reviewed it or something. So I played like some of it for the newspapers. I played somewhat begrudgingly because it's not my thing either.
Mm.
But yeah, like obviously all kids are, well, a lot of kids are drawn to it.
Mm.
So I'm like, hey, check this out. We'll play in split screen. And I didn't know, I don't really know what to, because like I could totally appreciate the incredible like construction that some people are capable of. But I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm happy to marvel at other people. And nor do I have the talent to do it either.
Yeah.
But anyways, we're just playing. We don't really know what we're doing. Neither of us. We're just kind of like, you know, fucking cutting down trees and shit. And then we build a house together. And I imagine at some point in human history, not too long ago, fathers and sons did this for real. But, you know, my wife and I bought our house. It was already there. But, yeah, it was nice. It was a nice experience. But I'm completely with you. I wouldn't play it by myself. Mm. But it is a fun way to play. And, you know, it's fairly educational.
It's fun to do. It's fun to, like, do anything with your kid, really.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think that I was so surprised. But then when I looked at it later on, I thought, you know what? This actually, I'm sure I did the same thing. Because I remember as a kid just absorbing information from magazines and manuals.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm sitting in bed reading the manual to a game, like cover to cover. So when I go to play it the following day or something, and like guides and all this kind of crazy shit.
I loved all that.
So he's borrowed Minecraft books, right. He's read stuff, he's watched YouTube videos about Minecraft.
Oh,
he knows all this
stuff. It's a different
world. But he never had the game up until like a fortnight ago.
Right.
And he's just hit the ground running so much. It's just amazing. I'm like, well, yeah, I guess there was back in the day I did a similar thing in certain types of games. You already knew all about it because you'd read about it for months.
Yeah, yeah. Obsessed.
But I'm there. I'm making this thing. And I'm like, so what's this? And he's like, that's gravel. I'm like, what can I make a house out of? And he's like, anything. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I get a window? And he's like, well, you need sand. I'm like, okay. So I'm down by the river and I'm like, I've got some sand. He's like, but you got to make it glass. I'm like, how do you do that? And he's like, oh, you got to put it in a furnace. I'm like, where's the furnace? What does the furnace look like? Do you have a furnace? Is there a furnace in your house? Because he's already got a house.
Oh, and you're living in separate houses.
Yeah. Oh. And I'm like, my health's going down. And he's like, you need to eat. I'm like, I don't have any food. And he's like, I've got 30 carrots. You can have some carrots. I'm like, where'd you get carrots? He's like, I farmed them. I'm like, what? How'd you farm carrots? And he's like, you plant carrots. And he's got bread. I'm like, where'd you get bread from? He's like, I made it. What? So yeah, you get wheat and you craft it on a table. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Anyway, Minecraft.
Yeah.
It's a big thing.
Yeah. It might catch on.
Yeah.
cool.
Sound like ZZ Top.
How.
How.
Also, just quickly, we've got time. I quite like the, like obviously Watch Dogs, you know, is, it's got that kind of try-hard sensibility to it that puts a lot of people off.
Yeah, especially that guy with the emoticon face.
Yeah, and just all the hackers be fresh kind of shit. But I know you played at E3, didn't you?
The single
player thing.
Yeah,
and the actual gameplay is like pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's really good.
And the version of San Francisco is like really nice.
Mm.
But yeah, like at Gamescom, I played the multiplayer, the bounty system, where it's basically like the game has a wanted system like every other open world game.
Mm-hmm.
But when it gets to a certain point, like in a GTA game, yeah, it's first one star, one police car's after you, then two stars, you know, multiple police all the way up until the army, the five star or whatever. This is like that, but when it gets to like five star or the maximum, it like invites other players in. It puts like a bounty on your head and invites others, provided you've got it like enabled in your settings or whatever.
Yeah.
Like if you don't want other people to come in, you don't have to. But it's quite a cool idea. Like, and all of a sudden you're being pursued by real people. just in the world. Like, it's not like a separate mode or anything. Like,
yeah.
They're just there. And I think the, like, Watch Dogs, the original, had a similar kind of thing. It wasn't the wanted system. It was it more, it was like a hacking thing where people could hack you or something. So I guess that's the kind of early kind of kernel of the idea. But yeah, I thought it was, like, really cool. Like,
it definitely sounds really clever.
Yeah, and if you're playing co-op, you know, you can play two-player co-op through the whole game if you want.
Mm.
Then the other person has to, like, kind of, like, your partner has to kind of run interference to stop the I think it can have up to three, like, people, hunters or whatever. But yeah, it was fun. Like, I literally played it for, like, 20 minutes, but...
Yeah, and I wonder cool if, like, idea. The hunt, like, because presumably there's a reward for them
yes.
to take you out. So I wonder then if you'll have these... uneasy sort of situations between the hunters, because that happens even in, say, GTA when you do hunt the beast.
Right, yeah.
So
yeah,
you're
yeah.
trying to run around, you're trying to kill this beast. You're supposed to be all working as a team, but invariably the beast, the werewolf thing, but there's always people that are happy to sort of take someone else out
right.
in order to grab that
scum
chance. I don't know, yeah. I don't know why. It's kind of frustrating, but yeah. No, that game, yeah. And there's heaps of detail, and detail is what pushes most games over the line for me.
Yeah.
Like you said about the world.
You love detail.
But you said about the world, and there's all that, like, that tiny little detail. It really feels like someone's gone over it and then gone over it again and just layered and layered.
Yeah.
Really sort of fine, granular detail. Like, even a car, like the cars, right? I saw it. Actually, I saw this in one of the most recent videos. I think it came out of Gamescom.
Right.
So it's parked under a tree, and you pull away, all these, like, dead leaves fly off it.
That's cool.
Which is... Someone had to think of that and then apply it to the game. Spend the time to apply it to the game. But I love that. I love when people have time to put that kind of stuff in, because that speaks volumes to me about how... what sort of a position the rest of the game must have been in for that kind of stuff to go to the top of the list, you know? So... No, I'm pretty... Yeah, I'm optimistic that's going to be fun, that game.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just... it is that fucking try-hard.
Oh, it really is, stuff. Yeah. Like, it really is.
It's, I mean, hopefully, you know, the game will endure despite that. But, yeah, it's just fucking hat backwards and hacking on the fly. And,
the guy with the fucking digital face did my head in.
Anyway. Yeah, cool. We should crash into the news / discussion topics.
Let's do it.
So there was, I'm not sure who conducted this survey, but anyways, Vive, which we have here in IGN AU office, it is IGN AU approved Vive.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, the majority of game developers surveyed agree. Vive is what game developers want to make games for over the Oculus.
Yeah, right.
And why is that?
I don't know. I should have probably read more into it.
Well, there's more versatility, right? I mean, it's more, it allows for greater movement. You're not necessarily restricted to a seated experience.
Well, yes.
Or
at the same time, I played the Star Trek demo, which was Oculus, and it used the Oculus Touch controllers.
Yep.
Which are very similar to the Vive ones, except they have thumbsticks on the top, which I prefer.
Totally.
Because the Vive has those weird kind of circular pad things that aren't very... They're okay, but it's kind of...
They're not... Yeah. They're not very precise.
But I don't know... I'm not sure how many... I think those touch controllers introduce a second sensor. So I don't know if they basically equate to the Vive in terms of, like, the 3D space.
Mm.
But anyways, it's interesting, right? Because Vive seems like the best technology overall, but also the most expensive and possibly least likely to succeed. But it's interesting that developers are favoring it.
I just think it's the room-scaled stuff.
Mm.
Gives them so much more opportunity to
come up with
sort of
crazy
build
shit.
Interesting experiences. You know what I mean? If you've got an experience where you can move around an object, like in that space, like in that sort of virtual space, you can move around an object.
Yeah,
you can move forward, you can move backwards. You don't have to tie every single user movement to a controller. You have to tie a lot of it to a controller, particularly if you want to traverse any distance longer than 3 meters.
Yeah.
But you do, like, I don't know, I just feel like there's so much stuff that is just inherently better on a Vive from, you know, there's games haven't embraced this yet, not that I'm aware of. Like, you can stand up and get out. If you're in a seat when you're playing Project Cars, you can get out of the seat and you're not in the car anymore.
Can you bail out of the car at speed?
Yeah, but you know, you could in a game that was built for that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like GTA style.
You could detect that movement, you know? Like, yeah. Whereas I don't think Oculus is really nuanced enough to allow you to do that, right? That's not my understanding.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, obviously, you know, Vive is the least practical for people. Like, you know, we're lucky we have it in the office.
Yeah.
Dedicated
it's,
space.
Yeah, it's not practical.
I would never
at all.
Have one at home. So that's why it seems like the least likely to.
But also, like, you need to sort of factor in. I mean, it's impractical because of the senses, and you need to factor those into your living room aesthetically.
You need a VR room. What's the room on Community that Troy and Arbed have?
Yeah.
Anyway, you need one of those. But yeah, you don't want like two giant tripods just towering.
No,
over
like
you.
I mean, like very few people are going to be like, cool, yeah. You can put that in the living room. That's great.
I mean, you could maybe like you could mount it on the wall and it wouldn't be too obtrusive. But yeah.
It's yeah, maybe put it up on a bookcase. But then it's. Yeah, you've got to have the furniture to do that. Mm. Otherwise, you're going to need a stand.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. On the topic of VR, though, ZeniMax, the parent company of Bethesda, or are they one and the same? Whatever. ZeniMax, Bethesda. I don't know when the lawsuit began, but they're suing...
A while back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're suing... Is it Oculus and John Carmack? Or just John Carmack? Probably both. Well, John Carmack works for Oculus. So.
Yeah.
They're suing the shit out of them because they reckon that a lot of the work on Oculus was done while he was still at ZeniMax. And they even say that Palmer Luckey, who's the kind of, is he the CEO of Oculus?
Yeah.
Anyway,
well,
he's the face
big,
of Oculus.
Yeah, he's the big wheel at the Cracker Factory.
They basically... Well, they reckon he hasn't done anything. He didn't even have the idea. So, yeah, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, ZeniMax has given Oculus a wide berth. All their VR stuff seems to be on the Vive, like Fallout and Doom. By the way, I didn't play it at Gamescom, but Doom VR sounds pretty cool.
I heard nothing but good things. Yeah. People keep banging on
it
about
seems
how
so,
good
like,
it is.
It seems like you picture it in your head. Like,
yeah.
How could that game work? Because like as a Vive game, it's like I'm just teleporting. Like that game's so high speed, it's like how is that going to work? But they kind of make the teleporting work as part of the gameplay, where you're almost moving in like a bullet time kind of thing. Like sound like I didn't play it, but it sounds like really cool. Palmer Luckey. I mean, I was going to make a... He got lucky joke, but I won't. And still on the... Yeah, I don't know where to go from there. I mean, yeah, good luck to them.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get you just don't... That I don't know. It's an interesting one because you don't come out and allege that a bloke's stolen... Well, not taken, whatever. Bug it off with hundreds of documents and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You don't just come out and say that, right? Surely there's got to be something to it.
There's got to be, yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what or if there is to it.
Yeah. Justin Roiland, the co-creator and voice of both Rick and Morty, has formed his own VR studio called Squanchtendo.
Love it.
and he also... Yeah, we're talking about this morning. He's making a Rick and Morty VR game with some other dev, I'm not sure who. And also making another VR game with... one of the dudes that made Stanley Parable. Was that only one dude? It was two dudes, wasn't it? Anyways.
It was two dudes.
It was two dudes, yeah.
He's gone all... Justin Roiland's gone all in with VR, which is cool.
Yeah, he's teamed up with...
he's hilarious.
With a woman from Epic.
Right.
Yeah, she's like a veteran from Epic, and I can't remember her name, but she's... Yeah.
That'd be... It's funny, though, that he's started a VR studio that's not making the Rick and Morty game. Like,
but I guess things
still, he's still working on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I guess time, you know, timelines being what they are, that would have been signed off ages ago.
Yeah.
And once it's locked in, it's locked in. And yeah. No, man.
Actually, isn't the Rick and Morty game being made by the Job Simulator people? I think it might be.
Actually, I think it is. This is why the very, very short, like 30-second snippet of the game so far had a real Job Simulator vibe.
Yeah,
you're in his garage,
you're
picking stuff up and bashing it. And
So anyway, there should be some awesome VR times ahead. I'm not sure if they've specified which platform they'll be developing for. I guess whichever one kind of wins once the dust settles.
Yeah.
PlayStation 4 Slim was leaked and then officially confirmed.
No surprises there.
Yeah, as far as I know, there's no like extra grunt in there, right? Like
no.
That's being saved for the Neo.
Yeah.
Which is going to be announced in a week or two at the New York thing. But yeah, the PlayStation 4 Slim, not very good looking, I got to say.
No.
Not very good looking.
It looks squashed.
It looks a little squashed. I don't really like the rounded edges on it either. I like the kind of sharper edges of the actual PlayStation 4. And I think the Xbox One S looks really nice. So if you're buying consoles purely based off what they look like, then you should buy an Apple TV. Allison Road is back in development. That's the PT spiritual successor that was in development and then canned a couple of months back, and now he's back.
Well, he's left the guy who's
the
main, brainchild. It is
Kessler.
He has kind of he's come on. He and his wife have sort of formed a new studio.
Right.
So there's been sort of no real kind of talk about why he left his former studio and what happened there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's back on. It's back on, which is cool. I'm excited to see it. I mean, we haven't really seen anything, but since that 13-minute demo that was so it's ages ago now.
Yeah.
That was fucking scary. That thing at the end.
That was fucking scary, that.
Yeah, that was not cool.
A long time ago. So yeah, I'm very happy that it's back on again. You know, I was one of the biggest fans of PT. I am a huge fan of PT as a lot of people that I know. Yeah. And so I'm excited to see what's gonna come out from Allison Road.
Yeah. For sure. Just on the topic, I'll get to the Mafia thing in a sec, but just on the topic of PT, i.e. Kojima, i.e. Metal Gear, obviously, which he's separated from now, but Metal Gear Survive was one of the few kind of big game announcements that happened during Gamescom week.
Mm.
And I've got to be honest with you, I haven't watched the trailer, but I know, because I was like, oh, it's a multiplayer Metal Gear game that Kojima didn't make.
Well, it's a budget title. It's a spin-off. Like, it's a spin-off, like Resurgence was a spin-off and Metal Gear Acid was a spin-off. And, you know, it's as far removed from Metal Gear Solid as those games were.
So what's the... I mean, I realize I could answer this question just by watching the thing.
Well, it's zombies. It's combat.
Yeah, it's zombies.
And zombies.
So it's... yeah.
Why?
Well, I mean... To be honest,
it's
like,
why it's here with a question mark.
But my thing is that, like, you know, it's hard to defend, but at the same time, they're going to do something with Metal Gear, right? They were always going to do something. They weren't just going to leave it.
Yeah.
It's not Metal Gear Solid. It has no, it does not continue that story in any way, shape or form. In fact, it goes back in time on that storyline. And yeah, like
back in time to that zombie apocalypse.
Well, you go. It's like it's alternate, alternate sort of world.
Are there Metal Gears in it? Like the big, you know, mechs and shit.
That was teased at the end of the trailer.
Oh, really?
That there'd be a Metal Gear,
right? But no Snake.
No.
Right.
From my understanding, like, it's very much a budget title, and it's Konami, those guys who, you know, who worked on Metal Gear Solid 5, you know, it's them sort of testing the waters a little bit, so to speak.
Who worked on it? I didn't see anyone else's name. I just...
No, I just mean they're 100% going to be... Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's actually like 100 dudes named Hideo Kojima.
Yeah.
Very common name.
If you actually look, like, if you, like, zoom in really close, you'll see all of their names are actually made up in the letters of Hideo Kojima.
Imagine that.
But yeah, like...
I gave you your credits, you jerks.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think that, you know, it is, considering the controversy, it's that, you know, of Kojima's departure was always going to be received really badly. And, you know, anything... Yeah. Well, basically what I'm saying is anything that Konami was going to do subsequently was going to be received badly. Mm. And especially something as shticky as this. But I think shticky. We have to remember that, you know, the Metal Gear series has had a history of these kind of spin-offs. Like, it's not unusual.
For sure.
or in any sense a departure of, you know, the norms. Mm. So yeah, it's probably not what people expected. It's certainly not what I expected, but also, you know, Kojima's gone. This is not Metal Gear Solid, and I guess it's important not to lose sight of that. Yeah. That's my take on it.
I was under the impression that Konami were like pivoting and making
pachinko games.
Pachinko games, like, and focusing on gyms and...
Yeah. Focusing on gyms.
Their fitness arm.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, and mobile games. Which was working for them. Mm. Because mobile games. Mm. Yeah. No, I mean, I won't be a hypocrite and say that, because, hey, Red Dead Redemption, Undead Nightmare, fantastic. I loved it.
Good point.
And I'm not saying that you can't do a tongue-in-cheek zombie spin-off of any given game. Mm. Because I've also sat here on this very podcast and, like, pleaded for Rockstar to make an Undead Nightmare version of GTA, mm-hmm. which would be awesome also. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that there are plenty of other games that you do funny zombie spin-offs. Rise of the Tomb Raider going to have a zombie thing?
Next Rise of the Tomb Raider?
Like a DLC thing.
Isn't it done for DLC, or...
Or has it already happened?
Well,
yeah, there was
a
Supernatural kind of one.
Yeah, there was a... God, I reviewed it, and it's actually gone completely out of my head.
It was like the Curse of the Lady Yum.
The Curse
Yum
of the... It was
something
called Lady Yum.
Yeah. Curse of the Lady Gaga.
Oh, the Baba Yaga.
It is. That's it. Baba Yaga, and it is zombies, yeah. Well, it's not zombies per se. I mean, they don't, you know... It's like,
but it's
the infected sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah, it's very much. It's
I haven't played any DLC for that game.
Right. Well, it is zombies.
I must have got confused with something else. But I don't know. And Lucy's totally right that anything they announced, it could have been fucking Metal Gear 7. Or 5. Or 6. 6. What are they up to? Who cares?
Yeah.
and people would have flipped their shit about it. But I think, I don't know. It does seem a little bit... I don't know. Maybe it just seems a little naive of them to go, this is what we're going to do. And for them to expect that it wouldn't be received with complete disdain and quizzical looks and many, many, many questions. Like, what the fuck are you doing?
I just honestly don't think that they care.
Yeah.
I don't think that Konami actually cares anymore.
That's entirely possible.
I call me cynical, and I just think it's maybe...
No, I don't think you're being cynical. Yeah. I think you're very much speaking the for the majority in this instance. And you know, I'm not exactly like, yeah, this is going to be great. I'm really looking forward to playing it. I guess I'm just trying to offer a different take.
No, I totally
understand.
Because,
otherwise it is just like, oh, God, what are they thinking?
You just know those games every now and then, and I wish I could think of another example off the top of my head, but you know those games where you look at it and you just know that this had to be a standalone idea that's just been shoehorned into something else?
Yeah.
And this game feels like the shiny example of that.
Yeah.
Well, someone at Konami wanted to make a four-player zombie game, and they've gone, we'll give you the cash, but it's got to be it's got to be a Metal Gear game. That's the brand. That's all we've got.
And it's so easy.
It's either Pro Evolution or Metal Gear. Your choice.
But it's so easy for them to do it as well, because it's like, well, they've got all the assets. They're all familiar. You know, again, that's why I mentioned those working on the on Metal Gear 5, because they're very familiar with the Fox engine, which is, and of course, you know, Number 5 was so sandboxy and stuff like that. So they've got a bunch of assets. They've got a bunch of ready-made stuff that they can just adapt in whatever way they want.
And economical.
It's very economical. And again, like, I just want to remind everyone that this is like a cheap title. This is like a cheap, this is a cheap spinoff. This is not some grand Metal Gear Solid, you know, reimagining or anything. So,
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense for them from a financial perspective. They can surf that brand to death, and it's up to us whether we want to keep investing our dollary dues into it. Really?
I couldn't even bother investing 2 minutes of my timery dues to watch the trailer, so I don't know what that says, but I'm not the world's biggest Metal Gear fan anyway. So you thought that GTA Vice City was the greatest licensed soundtrack of all time? Well, move over.
Move over.
Well, actually, that's not true. That probably still is.
But just move, slightly left. Make some space so they can stand
lean.
Stand next to each other.
Mafia 3 soundtrack, which was confirmed in detail, 100 tracks, I think.
Yep, 100 tracks, yep.
Just this past week. And I think it was announced that it was like officially on Pandora or something. But none of us have Pandora. So we listened to it on Spotify instead. But
because obviously some saint had just already
like put the songs.
Recreated the playlist.
Having said that, though, I love Pandora. A former IGN employee just went to work there, so good luck to you.
Yes. We love you.
Yeah. Nameless
person.
No, but anyways, the Mafia 3 soundtrack. What year is it? What's that game? 68?
It's 69. Set in 69.
Yeah. So, fucking golden era for...
It's set in 68. That's right, because...
That's
And Gimme Shelter came out in 69.
That's
a
golden era for rock music and soul and all kinds of awesome genres. But yeah,
so
it's
good.
Fucking sweet.
Such a great
missing,
soundtrack.
Apart from Gimme Shelter is Jimi Hendrix, obviously too expensive. And his estate, apparently a bunch of cunts. No, seriously, they are. They've put his name on some other things that have been like a bit shit.
Yeah.
Like, not to get too guitar geeky around you guys, but obviously, Jimi Hendrix played a Stratocaster. That was his guitar.
Yes.
And then, about 5 years ago, the Hendrix estate put his name... They sold his name to Gibson to put on a Gibson guitar. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
They fucking Metal Gear survived him is what they did.
What sort of vapid, soulless husk at Gibson...
Yeah.
like pursued that.
Well, they were trying to make a quick buck, I guess. But the soundtrack is sweet, Luke.
Yeah,
are you glancing at it?
I'm just going to give you just a rapid fire machine gun. Yeah. It's just like we've got The Animals, Aretha Franklin, Beach Boys, what else? Canned Heat, Cream, Creedence.
Cream.
Yeah. So much stuff. Donna Ross and Supremes, Dusty Springfield, Elvis, Etta James, Four Tops, James Brown, Jefferson Airplane, John Lee Hooker.
I mean, it's
Johnny Cash.
It's a time capsule.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Marvin
Gaye.
And
as you were saying, like it's almost like, I mean, fuck, the game's got a lot to live up to now. Like, it's got the perfect soundtrack, almost.
Yeah.
I hope it's a good game.
I'm going to repeat myself because I've already had a discussion with you over the desk the other day, but I think it's going to be good. I mean, I haven't actually played it personally.
Yeah, me neither.
But I don't know. I see a lot of the gameplay clips, and I got a feeling that the controls look really kind of refined. The shooting looks good. The driving seems pretty good. I think that's always a tough one. It's hard to judge, like the vehicle handling in an open world game by video. You really got to get your hands on it.
I mean, I can't recall, but remember the first Mafia game, the driving was pretty terrible.
Yeah, the first Mafia game, the driving was not great.
what, was definitely improved in the second one.
Oh, right? Massively. Yeah. The driving in the second game I quite liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was quite good.
Didn't the first one have, like, you had to obey the fucking traffic laws or something? Or am I thinking of something else?
Well, you didn't. You had to, or in order not to get pursued and booked. But,
right.
On the other hand, though, Mafia, and the second one did this too, and I hope the third one does it as well. It did have sort of a degree of wantedness by the cops. So there was always, in Mafia, you could always pull over up to a certain point for if a cop started pursuing you for speeding or running a red light, you'd pull over and you'd cop a small fine and then you'd move on. I can't really think of many other games that have that level of granularity. Not in GTA, for instance. If you're pursued by the cops, you're pursued by the cops. They'll take you out of the car, they'll arrest you, start again.
Little recourse other than to open fire.
Yeah, more or less. but with Mafia, you could move on.
Yeah.
After a fine.
Yeah.
Also, in Mafia, you'd run out of gas.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But in the second one as well?
Yeah, in the second one. Right. Yeah. But honestly, I don't really mind that either, because it added a little bit of extra risk. Like when you're out and you shoot out, it's like bam, bam, bang. I'll grab that car. So you grab a car, and you never quite know how much gas is in it.
I could live without that, to be fair.
Well, okay, let's make it a toggleable thing.
Toggleable. Yes.
Yeah, that's totally a word.
Yeah. If it was toggleable, okay, you can pee while we talk about cricket, and then we'll wrap it up.
You don't need to pee. You just don't want to talk about cricket.
What? I'm out. But yeah, anyway, like, I think the setting looks great. Soundtrack looks great. The pedigree of the series is pretty great.
Yeah. The characters look really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the, incidentally, don't want to put you on the spot, but what's the voice cast for this game? Is there any big names in there?
If there are any big names, I haven't followed them.
Remember when, like, GTA, they got all the big names, and then over time, that stopped being relevant?
Yeah,
they
unearthing. When they jumped generations from PS2 to PS3, and, you know, Xbox, the first to Xbox 360, they shed that.
Yeah, because they didn't really need that selling point anymore, I guess.
They also shed it a little with the soundtracks as well. Remember how in GTA 4... the soundtrack didn't really
GTA 4
have those heavy hitters in terms of, say, with, like, San Andreas had that Channel X and what was the other one? Dust FM, that was great. Heaps of real cool classics. It picked up again for me with Lost and Damned and Ballad of Gay Tony. They started to add those sort of...
Yeah, because they brought Bon Jovi in.
Yeah.
They? Yeah.
And John Farnham in with Ballad of Gay Tony.
Yes. No, you're right, though. Yeah, GTA 4, I can distinctly remember. I'm like, not being disappointed in the soundtrack, but it was the first time where it wasn't like fuck, oh yeah.
Full of, like, radio staples?
Song. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of almost, like, unearthing. Not that, like, I mean, there's stuff on there that was... already well, I was like Kanye West and stuff, like, people
yeah,
like that. There was a lot of stuff that, like, wasn't on my radar, and even though the songs were good, there's when you lose that kind of ingrained sort of familiarity of classic songs, it's I don't know, maybe I'm just old. I think I'm just what I'm saying is I'm 36 and I don't want to listen to new music, basically. No, I don't know, it's yeah.
They definitely got it back to a degree with GTA 5, particularly on the Kenny Loggins station, which was brilliant.
The moment they got Kenny Loggins on the phone, I mean, that was a masterstroke.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mafia 3 should be pretty boss.
Yeah, such a good soundtrack. Spotify it, whatever, Pandora it even.
And or RDO it? I don't know if that's still a thing. Just finally.
Yep.
This was during Gamescom, I think. But it still popped up on my radar, so it didn't get swallowed up by all the other announcements.
That's because I popped it immediately on the site.
Just popped it all over the site.
Yeah, while I popped my trousers.
Brand new feature. Oh, you didn't miss it. Good. Lucy's back for the Don Bradman cricket corner.
Really?
Cricket corner.
But we'll keep it short. Don Bradman Cricket 17, which is on the way. When's it arrive?
December.
December, just in time for the Big Bash and yep, summer. Summer will be upon us then. Best time of the year. Don Bradman Cricket 17, awesome features. In terms of like customization of logos and the stadiums and importing shit from Photoshop if you're using the PC version,
yep.
Which you should be, by the way.
But that's like as previously, it's all shareable across platforms.
Exactly. All part of, feeds the community. It's going to be. I mean, the last game, as we've said, you know, pretty much as good as cricket games get, and this one just seems like a smarter, more refined version of that.
Yeah.
One of my bugbears was the spin bowling.
Yep.
It seems like they've tweaked that.
I see what you do there.
They've flippered it. No, that doesn't work. Where it used to be like you'd have to like fucking spin the stick multiple times.
Yeah, three times, right?
Destroy your controller after one over. But now you just kind of spin it once. I guess like the velocity of the spin affects the actual amount of spin or something. I don't know.
I honestly think it's totally the more intuitive, like the more logical thing, because
I agree.
It's like a flick of the wrist.
I agree. Exactly.
A flick, but not a winding it three times is like, that's kind of like spinning a hand around like a Lego man or something.
It's like, yeah, like when cartoon boxes wind up to punch. It brings it more in line with the pace bowling. Like
totally.
That felt more organic. And that's cool. And I'm sure they've still got a bunch of stuff that they haven't revealed yet. But you can try it. It's on Steam. There's like a practice mode.
Nets mode.
Along with the Academy as well. So you can start
stuff can be
creating.
Creating. In earnest. I'm particularly excited about the career mode changes.
So what are the... I'm not...
Well, so remember
those. How
with career mode, right? And this particularly affected people who... modded stuff and really were really fastidious about their teams and made sure the lineups are correct and so on and so forth. That once you started a career in the original Don Bradman, everything was locked in place. So players wouldn't shift around and all that.
Right.
Now, players will shift around, they'll retire, they'll get injured, they'll move up, you know, they'll sort of move into a higher level of cricket and so on and so forth. And you start out...
Oh, you start in the club. Cricket,
yeah, you start
right?
out.
Yeah,
you start out in club cricket, like in like a grassroots level, even playing cricket in your sort of local region before you even move to domestic duties. You know, not even international
and
stuff.
Thanks to the fucking stadium editor, you can build fucking Petersham Cricket Ground or whatever.
Sounds like it's going to be the case, which like, just sounds freaking amazing.
It's awesome.
They're canny, I reckon, because they know they can't compete with the budgets of these massive sports games, and these big publishers won't fund these niche sports. And I use the word niche in inverted commas. Like they call lacrosse is niche. Cricket's not niche, so to speak, but it's the markets that cricket games sell in aren't the biggest video game markets.
Yeah.
So
Like India, obviously massive for cricket, but also massive for game piracy.
Yeah, huge. Yeah.
Like it is genius that they basically crowdsource development. Obviously, they build the core game.
Yeah,
yeah.
So you have people just making all these sort of local grounds, I presume, local teams. But even this game, you can be you can do the career mode, but you can do it as a pro,
right,
as well. So you've got to play. So be a pro. So that mode was there. Like the FIFA style be a pro mode that's in the rugby league games as well. You can just create your own player and then play that one player.
Yep.
And that's it's crazy to me how like it's completely changed the way I play sports games. And I don't play a lot of sports games at all. But when I play sports games now, I don't play as the whole team. I play as one person. And it's crazy how rapidly that changed. But you can also play a career mode as the whole team.
Right. That's cool.
So it's kind of they've gone back. They've looked at all the ways that people looked at all the things that people want, and they've done a good pretty. They seem to have done a pretty good job of stuffing as much of it in as possible.
Yeah,
we already know the game is a tight cricket game, so combined with this exhaustive list of sort of features that will no doubt improve the experience, I'm really really looking forward to it.
Me too.
Yeah.
And I'll speak for on Lucy's behalf. Me too.
And that brings us to the end.
Oh, thank God.
Of the, unless you have any final thoughts, Luce?
No, not on on Don Bradman.
You want to talk rugby corner?
Oh, don't talk about rugby. By the time
this weekend,
by the time this is online,
the Wallabies will have been thrashed twice.
Yeah, again.
The Wallabies will actually be, they'll be dead.
They will be dead. Yeah, no one will go to their funeral. Yeah. I mean, I'll go in the onesie, obviously, as they would have wanted. But yeah, well, let's not talk about the rugby. Okay, cool. Good place to end it. thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much, Luke and Lucy.
Thank you, Tristan.
Thank you, Tristan.
Actually, just as a little tease, next episode of the Pubcast, which will be 143, unless I'm completely mistaken, Murray Walker style, we will have some familiar faces, and that doesn't include Cam. I believe returning Pubcast immortals. So yeah, look forward to that in a couple of weeks' time.
Who
otherwise,
could they be?
Unfortunately, neither of them are Slambrecks.
Oh, you just ruined it.
Which is not to I'm narrowing it down, aren't I? and neither of them is Jamie Watt from Ask Men. making his long-awaited second Pubcast. Cool. Yeah, look forward to that. Otherwise, bye.
Bye.
You just ruined it!